Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now this was a statement made by the Apostle Peter. And let's see, what was the background behind this statement? The place was in the city of Jerusalem, and this was where the Lord had been crucified. And it was on the day of Pentecost, where Jews were gathered from every nation for the observance of this great feast day among the Jews. They had to observe the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and Pentecost, which came 50 days after the Passover. And this particular Pentecost was a very significant day, because it was the first Pentecost after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it would later prove to be a day that would influence all time and indeed eternity, because it was on that day that the promised and miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the apostles took place. The Apostle Peter was explaining what was taking place here on the day of Pentecost when he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now in Acts the second chapter, we read, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place," that's the apostles, "and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Notice, it wasn't a mighty wind. It was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. We continue to read. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." Now, it was not fire, but it was cloven tongues like as of fire. And furthermore, we read, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now the apostles began to speak in languages that were not normal and natural and native to them, languages that they had not learned, but were miraculously enabled to speak these languages. Now this event, this noise of the wind, the tongues as of fire, the speaking in languages uncommon to the speakers, this event was soon noised abroad throughout the city of Jerusalem, where there were just teeming hordes of people, and the multitudes gathered together. You see, the people observing these things, they were astonished at what was taking place. The scripture says, "And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" Now the speakers were recognized to be Galileans. They would speak in the language, in the dialect of the Galileans. But now they were able to speak so that any and all could understand. Now, some had an explanation for what was taking place that was absurd. Some accused the apostles of being drunk with wine. But the apostle Peter dismissed that absurd charge of drunkenness, and then he began a rather lengthy discourse, which was the first gospel sermon. In that sermon, he preached Christ, and also he gave an explanation as to what was taking place. Now, the theme of that lesson was to come to the conclusion like this. Peter said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." Acts 2 and verse 36. The Apostle Peter had given evidence that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the one that had been promised to come. And he asserted that God made Jesus Lord and Christ. And the sermon continued with the inclusion of the terms of salvation for the forgiveness of sins. You see, when he preached Christ, and he gave the evidences of the Christ, the people cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Because they were convinced and they believed what Peter had to say about Christ. At least 3,000 of them did. And Peter told them what to do. He said to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But a great portion of Peter's sermon was an explanation of what was taking place here in Jerusalem on this day of Pentecost. Now, Peter referred to a prophecy that had been made by Joel, Acts chapter 2. He repeated that prophecy. But before he repeated it, he said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, this is a momentous statement. Here is the fulfillment of what one of the prophets of God had said. This was the great moment of which Joel had foretold. This was the great time for which Israel for many centuries had longed. This was the fulfillment of many prophecies, many promises from God. I want us to please note two pronouns in Peter's statement. The pronoun "this" and the pronoun "that." This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Well, what is the meaning of the pronoun "this"? Well, this was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised the coming of the Holy Spirit to the apostles before he ascended into heaven. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus told them, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." In John 15 and verse 26, Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And again in the 16th chapter, Jesus told the apostles, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So this was referring to the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel and also the accomplishment of that which Jesus promised the apostles. This was the coming of the power from on high. Jesus had told the apostles just prior to his ascension, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Well, this was the coming of the power, Peter said. This was the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." When Peter said, "This is that," this was the signal for the apostles to begin to carry out that great charge and commission that Jesus had given them. Jesus had said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." In Matthew 28 we read, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Luke records, Jesus said, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise from thy Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Well, when Peter said this is that, this is what he's referring to. The charge that they were to be witnesses of Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the world. You see, this was the beginning of a new age, a new dispensation, under a new and better covenant. This was the beginning of the last days. The patriarchal age had come and gone. The Mosaic age for the Jews had come and gone. But this began the Christian age, that age when God speaks to man through his Son. As he said in the Mount of Transfiguration, hear ye him. And finally, after many years, a new and better covenant that had been prophesied was coming into force. The old law had been taken out of the way. It had been nailed to the cross. It had accomplished its purposes. The perfect law of liberty through Christ was being ushered in. It brought what the imperfect and faulty law of the past could not provide, and that is the forgiveness of sins. It was not a law that embraced every single or just a single family alone. It was not a law that just embraced a single nation alone. It was a law and a system that was for whosoever would come to Christ. And Peter preached, guided by the Holy Spirit. He opened the doors of that long-looked-for kingdom of God, the church, and salvation through Christ. Yes, this was the start of the last days, the last age. You know, some preach in near hysteria that we're living in the last days. Friend, men have been living in the last days ever since this great day of Pentecost. And significantly, this was the birthday of the Church of Christ. Because those who heard, believed, and obeyed what Peter taught, they were added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Now, prior to this, the church was spoken of that it was to come. But after this, the church is spoken of as being in existence. Christ had said he would build his church. He would build it on the fact that he was the Son of God. And he gave Peter and the other apostles the keys to the kingdom, which is the church. When Peter said, this is that, this day, those keys were used to open the door of salvation to one and all who would come. Any church friend that began at some other day, some other time, some other way, is not the Lord's church. Any church that has begun since the day of Pentecost, that's not the Lord's church. This, Peter said, is the start of the church for which Jesus died and shed his blood. Well, we're going to look at the pronoun that in our next lesson. This is a burning fire. Remember to fear God and keep his commandments, friend. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.